Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, guess what? I'm back. I am back. I am back. I am back. Welcome to Baseball Central for Tuesday, May 19th. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker for your listening pleasure. Soon to be for your viewing pleasure as well, apparently.
Nice. When's that? June 1st?
No.
Is it June 1st?
No, it's when the NHL season ends, September 30th.
Oh. You're funny, guy.
June 28th, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just wasting
gonna
these nice us, haircuts every
gonna,
day,
they're going to give us a whole 6 weeks.
Are you pumped?
Welcome to Baseball Center. Yeah, I am. I just means I'm going to have to get dressed up and I'm going to, you know, all that stuff. Anyhow, it is May 19th. This is Baseball Central. I'm Jeff Blair. That voice to my left on your radio dial, which makes no freaking sense at all, is Kevin Barker. Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, is going to join us at 11:15. We got a couple of questions for Alex.
A few.
And in particular, we've got to address a certain story that in one of the local newspapers today in the Toronto Sun that we'll let Alex talk about.
Uh-huh.
Just put it that way and leave it at that. Lots to talk about. The Blue Jays coming off that 1-6 road trip with a 10-6 win over the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Kevin, I mean, we haven't had a chance to talk since the road trip other than on text or Twitter, but Todd Redman yesterday, first time through, different arm angles, baffling the Angels.
Sure.
Angels eventually caught on to him. Thankfully, it was one of those days where the Blue Jays offense really came to the fore. I mean, that's not the type of game that really gives you a real settled feeling about your pitching, is it? I mean, the fact of the matter is you used six pitchers for in a game in which you got 10 runs, which isn't a good thing.
It's not funny, is it?
Well, it's no, it's not.
But. No, it's been an issue all year. That's something we talk about on this show. Everybody talks about how are they going to make the playoffs with the pitching staff they have. And the one guy to ask is Alex.
Yeah.
We're gonna get a chance to ask that. And you know, it's the one thing that puzzled me yesterday when I watched that game is we've noticed throughout basically the entire season how guys pitch the Blue Jays is hard away and soft in. Well, you watched C.J. Wilson yesterday, and he basically went backwards of that. He threw a lot of fastballs in, and I told you from day one that this team, basically right-handed team, will wear out lefties. And when you don't spot the ball down and away in the left-hander like C.J. Wilson did yesterday, you saw a lot of balls getting hit hard. And 17 hits later, 10 runs, this is what you're going to get. Can they sustain this the rest of the season? There's no way. You have to get some quality pitching. And, you know, who's going to step up? Is it, you know, Mark Burley had a good start. Who's going to be the next guy? Is it going to be Aaron Sanchez today? He's going to have to make adjustments. Arm angle's going to have to be there. He's going to have to, you know, release the ball on time, get the ball down, and dominate a team that's struggling offensive side of the ball. That's what you do when you face teams that aren't hitting. You're a pretty good pitcher like Aaron Sanchez. You throw a lot of strikes. You get ahead of guys, and you give this potent offense, especially at home, a really good chance to win the game. If they can do that today, they can go on a little mini winning streak and get things rolling in the right direction. That's what everybody wants. That's what everybody expects. And we do too, quite frankly.
What would you be concerned about with pitchers going on an extra day's rest? Young pitchers in particular. A guy like Sanchez. Is it going to make that much difference to him?
I think so. I'm kind of on the same boat with Greg Zahn yesterday. You heard Greg Zahn on Blue Jay Central say they're in May and they're giving guys an extra day. Well, you know, it's pitchers, position players are sort of geared up in the offseason to play 162 games. You're geared up to pitch 32 starts. That's about right. 35 starts somewhere in there, depending on how good you are and how good of a season you're having. That's the same thing. I think it's one of those things where, you know, if you're Aaron Sanchez, you're coming off where you're throwing strikes, you have some feel of your pitches, and then you're missing that extra day. It gives you 6 days. I just didn't really make any sense to me. That's the way the Blue Jays wanted to go. That's the way John Gibbons wanted to do it. And luckily, you ran into a team that's not hitting the ball very well, and Your offense scored a lot of runs. Again, they can't sustain this. They're going to have to get some quality pitching. And Aaron Sanchez is going to have to come out today and throw strike one, get ahead of a team that's struggling, and put guys away with his best pitch, and that's his power sinker.
There was an incident during yesterday's game with Josh Donaldson. Josh Donaldson had struck out.
Yeah.
And Angels pitcher, I guess, said something. We've got Buck and we've got, this is the call of it from, do we have Buck and Pat or what do we have here? Okay, this is how Buck and Pat called it.
Between Iannetta and Donaldson during the at-bat. And then you're right, after the strikeout, he goes out and has something to say to Morton.
And now Donaldson looking over into the Angel dugout.
Back it off.
Now, this is Gonzalez telling Mike Butcher to knock it off. Butcher and Donaldson were going back and forth from across the diamond, and Mike Sosha's out saying, wait a minute. They're going to say that, and we're going to respond to it. But evidently, that's why Gonzalez stepped in front of Donaldson after the second strike.
Yeah, yeah. And Mike Butcher, that's the pitching coach right there. He's been having something to say to Josh during that whole at-bat. And now Mike Sosha has something to say to Manny Gonzalez.
Well, Manny Gonzalez, obviously, he was privy to what was going on in the plate. He could hear everything. And he kind of stepped in front of Donaldson and said, okay, let's just play some baseball here. And then he went out to the mound to tell Mike Morton, don't do anything silly now. Let's just play baseball.
That is Buck Martinez and Pat Tabler with the call of an incident in the game. A little bit of background. Mike Butcher, the Angels pitching coach, also got into it with Brett Laurie on Canada. Brett Laurie and Josh Donaldson, two guys who were traded for each other, mm-hmm. also got into it with Brett Laurie in Canada Day in 2012 after Brett Laurie, I don't know if you remember this play, absolutely destroyed John Hester, the Angels catcher, on a play at the plate. And he got up and Butcher got into it with him. So that little bit of a background there. Kevin, you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we don't know who said what.
Who cares? Who said what?
That, right. But what I'm getting at is this. I mean, I watched that at bat, and it seems to me, I think Buck and Pat probably got it right, guys who've been there. I don't know if it was Morin and Donaldson as much as there was something going on between between Iannetta and Donaldson as well, don't you, between the catcher and the hitter?
It sounded like it was the guy threw a ball up. Donaldson took it. All the whole entire bench thought it was a strike. That's sort of what led to it. Donaldson may have thought they were yelling at him. To me, it doesn't matter who did what, who said what, who's yelling at what. I love it. This mm-hmm. is what baseball's all about. When you're losing, you need the one guy to step up. If you look at this staff, this entire team, 25-man roster, who's the one guy you want to step up and start the merry-go-round? To me, it's Josh Donaldson. When you look at him, you look at presence, and you look at just, you know, walking around his position with a lot of attitude and saying, this is the way we do it in Toronto. You're going to have to come here and beat us because we're not going to beat ourselves. We're going to give you a quality game every time you play us. This is the way it's going to be from now on. Get used to it. I loved it. This to me, and this may be the best at bat. This may be the turning point for the Toronto Blue Jays. I look at this as being this big of a deal. Just the fact of getting this team fired up, because as you saw when Josh Donaldson went to the dugout, everybody was around him. Everybody sort of came to him and said, this is what we're going to do. And then bases were loaded and Russell Martin got the huge hit. This is what happens. This is how you become, you know, start winning streaks. And they're going to have to start doing things more like this and have attitude and getting fired up. And man, I got to be honest, Jeff, it made me want to go get a bat and a glove and call John Gibbons and say, hey, man, do you need an old left-hander to come off the bench?
Don't do it.
I would love to play with Josh Donaldson at least a week. It'd be awesome, man.
Don't do it.
I love it.
Don't do it. Who's the toughest SOB, the meanest SOB you played with as a teammate? Anybody in those Reds teams that you were with, or Milwaukee, or even Toronto? Is there anybody, any guy that you just just sticks out to you as, even a winter ball, just sticks out to you as, oh my God, this is like a hellacious teammate.
Guy. Yeah, there's, well, I won't say the guy I played with, but Moises Alou, you remember that guy's name? He was my general manager in winter ball. And I remember striking out one time and him being in the stands, coming in the clubhouse, in the dugout, and saying, enough's enough. This is what you do. You're dropping your bat. It's GM of the winter ball team. This is the kind of guy he was. That's what the Blue Jays need. That's the guy. You need guys to step up, get fired up, and just play the play baseball with some energy and excitement. And, you know, whether it was the fans, whether it's the 45,000 people that came to the game yesterday or whatever it was, losing makes people, great players, step up and do things they normally don't do. And Josh Donaldson yesterday, if they get more of these guys and this kind of attitude on this team can go a long, long way, Jeff.
The other thing, the reason I brought up the Josh Donaldson thing, I'm with you. I mean, at the end of the day, it's meaningless other than the fact that it's a hot day and you've got, you know, two teams competing.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Mike Socha said in his post-game comments that the Angels were talking to the umpire and Donaldson took exception to it. Nothing was targeted at Donaldson, so we'll take that from Mike Socha. But, again, it certainly did seem as if Josh Donaldson thought it was targeted at him, which in and of itself is,
I'm sure it's
part of the story. But the reason I brought this up is part of the discourse surrounding John Gibbons' job status with the Toronto Blue Jays, and look, I've been very clear. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any reason to get rid of the manager. I don't think there's any reason to get rid of the pitching coach. I understand people are going to say, well, you're just being a shill for the team. You're defending John Gibbons, a guy like, listen, I'm just saying, the reason I'm saying that is because I don't see anything that he can control necessarily going wrong here. The one thing I definitely see, and I've covered teams on the verge of having their manager fired.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember what it was like when John Gibbons was fired the first time here. I look at guys like Josh Donaldson. This team's playing its ass off.
Right.
Bottom line is this team is playing its ass off. Its pitching isn't real good right now. Its pitching probably needed to be addressed in the offseason. You know, what amazes me about this is, you know, we've just, one of the elements of this discussion has always been, well, if only Marcus Stroman hadn't got hurt. What if Marcus Stroman just has kind of a second year pro season? You know what I mean? Like there's in everybody's mind here, there's this idea that Marcus Stroman is going to, you know, go out and throw 230 innings and win the Cy Young Award. Well, it's entirely possible that he wasn't going to do that. So, yeah, if I thought firing the manager, firing the pitching coach would make a difference, I'd be sitting here telling you, look, I think it's time to fire the manager, fire the pitching coach. I just don't think it makes a difference right now because I'm not seeing signs of a team that is quitting its manager or has quitting itself. I am seeing signs of a team that's got a couple of veteran pitchers who haven't pitched up to their track record.
I'll say this. If this pitching staff was in top 10, you have the hitting team you have the defensive team, and they're still losing, then it would be a legitimate reason to go out and fire the manager. When your pitching staff is 29th or 28th in baseball, walk a bunch of people, John Gibbons doesn't go out there and throw the baseball for these guys. This is what I'm saying, that people need to start being held accountable. 1-5, 1-12, besides Roberto Osuna, which is basically going out and shutting the door every time he gets the baseball, besides him, you have to look at the other 11 guys and say, what do we have here? Can we change this? What can we do with them? Now, going out and getting 11 pitchers June 1st is going to be real tough to do. But you may want to try and go out and find one guy that can change the attitude, change the culture of the 1-5 or the 1-12. Just give them a different look.
And don't you just want somebody, though? I don't even know, Kevin, if it's changed the attitude. Aaron Sanchez is trying to do what he's doing. I mean, he doesn't need an attitude adjustment. Do you think Drew Hutchison needs an attitude adjustment, or does he just need his fastball command?
I just think it's a different look. I think it's a guy that's been a winner. It's like bringing a Josh Donaldson on the offensive side of the defensive side.
Didn't you do that when you brought Russ Martin in?
Well, you did, but once again, Russell Martin doesn't throw the ball. He can only do so much. He can't throw it for him. He can get you that close pitch on occasion. He can't throw it for you. That's my point. You get a guy in here that – now, is that going to work? Is that going to cure the 1-11 besides Osuna? Not sure. But it's probably not going to hurt, Jeff. You know, that's the point. You try things that, and it doesn't work, you go and try different things. You keep trying it till you find something that works, and hopefully it works sooner than later so you're not so far behind that you can't come from behind, because the young staff that you have, it's going to be real tough to run off 10, 12 game winning streaks when your pitching staff's not any good.
Yeah, the best ally so far the Toronto Blue Jays have is the rest of the American League East.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with their record, they're 4.5 back. There are a lot of teams that, well, there's not a lot of teams, but, I mean, I can tell you the Cleveland Indians and Chicago White Sox probably had a better chance of making the postseason in their division. They're behind the Blue Jays. So there's some bad baseball being played. Oakland, Seattle's just a smidgen ahead, I believe, of the Blue Jays. They might be a couple of wins more than Toronto. So you know, I'm just throwing that out there. And like I said, I would sit here. I'm comfortable enough in my position, and I've seen enough baseball that if I thought a managerial change
Alex
would do something, that would make a difference.
I saw John Lester pitching with the Cubs the other day. What are they, 21-15, 20-15? This guy's won multiple World Series, done it, been there and done it. He throws strike three to a guy in first of week of May, is fired up, coming off that mound, fired up, pumping his fist. That's what I'm saying. Just a little bit more attitude around that mound is, I think, a difference. And you know, it's either going to work or it's not. You have to try something.
Well, and the only way you can get that attitude is by throwing strikes. It's pretty hard to have. It's pretty hard to have attitude when you're 3-1.
There you go.
The general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays is Alex Anthopoulos, and Alex Anthopoulos joins Kevin Barker and myself in Baseball Central. Alex, thanks so much for doing this morning.
Glad to be on, guys.
All right, let's deal with the topic of there's an article, a column in the Toronto Sun today that got a lot of people talking. I kind of avoided talking about it until I got a little more information on it. But the sense is that, well, I mean, I'll tell you that you and Paul Beeston met at length on Monday morning to exchange views, assess the club top to bottom. It makes it sound like it was a crisis meeting. It makes it sound as if the continued employment of John Gibbons and pitching coach Pete Walker was a topic of conversation. And there's also a mention of Edwin Encarnacion being benched on the weekend, which I was under the impression that was a matchup thing. But Alex, I want you to respond to it if you could.
Sure. I saw the article in the Sun this morning. It was brought to my attention. And look, in fairness to the Sun and a lot of guys that are there, they do a very good job overall. And when they get their information, they're normally from very good sources, very credible. So I do have all the respect in the world, and I don't take it lightly at all, and I don't doubt that when things are written, that they're not made up. They're coming from sources that are well-placed and trusted and so on. Now, that being said, I can tell you that there was no meeting yet yesterday morning in Toronto. I got back from the road trip. I hadn't seen my kids in about a little over a week. They were up at my in-laws' house up north, so I waited for them to come back in the morning. So I didn't get in until just before the game, so I hadn't seen my daughter and my son in forever. So I was actually at home in the morning, and we had gotten home late. So there was no meeting at all. But I can't look, at the same time, in fairness overall, look, Paul and I talk all the time. When we're on the road, I talk to him daily, multiple times a day. We're always talking about team, players, everything, ways to get better, especially when we're not playing well. So all that's fair. And the other component, too, is I respect and appreciate the fact that could we have the road trip that we just had, the team's not playing well, this is the stuff that's going to happen. It's part of sports. It's reality. The only way these things don't occur is to win. So I don't shy from that responsibility, run from that responsibility. But I can tell you, I was not in the office on Monday. I wasn't on a conference call. I wasn't doing anything other than spending time with my family. And I didn't get in until just before the game. And, you know, that was pretty much the end of it. Now, in terms of Edwin Encarnacion being benched, you know, that was the perception that was out there. And look, I don't doubt, again, that maybe that was the perception of someone. And if that was, you know, commented on, it's fair. If that's from a good source, I respect that, and that's completely fair. The facts were that we're playing 20 games in 20 days. We've talked a lot this year about trying to make sure we get our position players rest. It's something we wanted to try to be ahead of in 2015 more than we were in 2014. Gibby, I know, had looked to try to get Edwin a day, and the day that he picked was Scott Feldman's on the mound. Smoke, he wanted to get Smoke in there at some point in the next 20 games. Smoke was 5-for-11, I believe, with 2 home runs career, and he told Edwin the night before, look, we're giving you the day tomorrow. We're going to play Smoke. So Edwin was not going to play 20 straight games. The same way he's looking to always get Donaldson off his feet or give everybody a day, and we've talked about that as an organization. We have to try to really pick our spots and get our position players days off from time to time, especially when we have 20 games in a row, 18 games in a row. So there wasn't anything more to it than that.
And I mean, I know that your office is near Beeston. So if you had a conversation with Beeston yesterday, it would have been a short one.
Yeah, I mean, our offices are side by side. I got in probably at, again, it was a scramble because I hadn't seen my kids in so long. So, and it was a day game again. I got home at midnight the night before. I got in at 12:45. I probably got upstairs at 10:01. And I gave Paul some real quick updates. And normally I wouldn't get into detail about our conversations day in and day out. But obviously today I need to because it's a story. I gave real quick updates on Reyes, Batista, Saunders, just where things were that day, Travis as well. So that probably lasted all of 5 minutes, and then we got going. We're getting ready to start the game, and we were off. That was the end of it. And you can ask anybody on my street who saw me at noon with my daughter, and you can ask the attendants that saw me pulling at 12:45. So that was the end of it.
You know, Alex, you can understand, I mean, obviously a lot of people watching that road trip, you know, and coming back. I mean, there was a lot of disappointment about that road trip, not just among fans, but frankly, obviously among the clubhouse and management. And I've got to think ownership as well. But I mean, I've got to ask you, you know, look, it's we've seen a couple of managers fired now. You know, it's a thing to do in a lot of cases. It's a thing to do. What would be your guidelines? What would tell you that it was time to make a managerial change? And not, I'm talking in a general sense.
And I understand. And look, I completely get it as well. Once there's, just like anything else, if there's changes that are going on around the game, that sparks conversation and discussion. Again, especially when the team isn't playing well. I mean, before we went on the trip, I think everyone was feeling fairly good. The bullpen was starting to come around. And we had a good series against the Red Sox team was playing well. We had a good homestand. And it could change. It could change very fast. So, look, with respect to changes with staffing and things like that, I'm not trying to avoid the question, but I don't want to give too much on this because I don't even want to entertain that it's even something that's being considered or even talked about internally. But look, I can tell you this. Whenever it comes to staffing, I think in any walk of life, whether it's sports or in any industry, it's if you really feel that there's a direct correlation, if there's things that are going on that can't be addressed, if you know, things get going on that you really feel a need for that. I think like anything, just like you said, in sports, when things aren't going well, we want to see change. It goes without saying. A lot of times, it comes down to the performances of players, like anything else. And a lot of players will tell you, look, you know, they're not having the years that they should have. They should be playing better. And ultimately, you have to decide what influence does a coach have? What influence does a general manager have? What influence does a manager have? And I can tell you, our rotation hasn't done as well as we've expected. But look, with all due respect to John Gibbons or anybody else, I'm not giving Gibby credit for Burley having the year he had last year. Because Mark Burley's been doing it for 14 years in a row. Mm-hmm. And the same way for R.A. leading our team in wins and innings for 2 years in a row. And the same, I guess in the same breath, for a six-week period, or actually, yeah, probably 5 to 6 weeks now, if guys are getting off to slow starts, the manager's not the one throwing the pitch, and especially with established guys. So, you know, the one thing, too, is that we've seen some changes. Like Drew is starting to throw the ball a lot better. I feel pretty confident his ERA is going to come down below 6. And I think Burley's starting to come around as well. And, look, RA did not have a good outing against the Astros. There's no way to hide that or avoid that. But at the same time, I know him and Pete have worked on some things, and they think they may have found something with his mechanics. And I expect them to be a lot better. So you just I understand it's a long year. We say it all the time, and I know nobody wants to hear it, but it is amazing how quickly things can change. You lose five in a row, you win five in a row. The mood changes so fast. I mean, look, we were 13 games over 500, I believe, in late May or early June, and obviously that changed, and we were four over. So in the same breath, things can change. You have to really stay consistent and stay even-keeled and not overreact to a six-game stretch or an eight-game stretch.
Hey, Alex, is it safe to say as well that before you would make a move, you would have to try to address the pitching yourself, wouldn't you? I mean, in fairness to John?
No doubt. I mean, I think with anything, I'm a firm believer that I think ultimately you're always going to look to make some adjustments on the roster. And look, no disrespect to Jeff Francis, but, you know, he had started out well with us. He hadn't been throwing the ball well lately. We make a change, and we can make a change there, and we made the adjustment. You know, we made the change with Norris, and I know his ERA looked good, but if you look at the peripherals and the innings pitched, we felt it was going to go in the wrong direction, and we felt we needed to be ahead of it and to do something a lot earlier. So it's the same way with, you know, getting Ryan Tepera up here. He had been throwing the ball well down there, and we wanted to get him up here, and I know he's given up two runs, but overall he's looked really good. He's throwing strikes. The cutter looks outstanding. The slider's good. He's been hit on the fastball a little bit, but yeah, we'll mix and match with what we have internally. We'll look to make some trades, and I think it always starts there no matter what.
Yeah, Alex, Aaron Loop in the bullpen's been, I don't know how you say it, not very good, we can say. I've been the one guy that says he needs to be totally pitching against left-handers and not right-handers. You see him a lot up closer than I do on an everyday basis. In your words, what are you seeing from Aaron Loop?
Hey, you know what? I really thought Loopy had started to turn the corner before the Astros game when he came in the seventh inning. And look, and I understand Jason Castro broken bat, ball down the first base side. Look, all that being said, the numbers are the numbers, the performance is the performance. And even when he came in last night, giving up the home run as well. You know, the big thing for me in the comparisons of what he did last year this current year was that walk rate was so much higher. I think it was 4 per 9 last year, and he was on a stretch where that walk rate was getting a lot lower. You know, I still think the stuff is outstanding, but there's no doubt his last two outings he hasn't been sharp. After the game against the Astros, his back tightened up on him. He was not available for 2 days, I believe, and I believe that's resolved itself, and I don't think it's a problem at all. But look, there's no doubt he's an important part of our pen. His ERA should not be in the fives, and we got to get him on track. His stuff is too good. He's got velocity, he's got sink, and he's just been inconsistent. And you know, getting the ball up instead of getting it down in the zone. And you know, I think he can get hot at any time. I wish I had something to point to say he's got to tighten up a certain pitch, but it just seems to be command right now, and just not hitting the spots.
Hey, Alex, what updates can you give us in the two Jose's, Reyes and Bautista?
Sure. I think with Reyes, I think he's going to take batting practice one more time with us, was the plan. I see how he feels, but he's certainly moving in the right direction. And if that goes well, I would expect him to go on a rehab assignment by the weekend, I would expect, and maybe sooner, maybe by the end of the week, but certainly by the weekend, I would expect him to go out. And with Bautista, I guess the encouraging part is that he finally threw in the cages to 40 feet. Said he felt okay. He's not 100%. Still felt a little bit in the back of his shoulder, but obviously it's gotten a lot better, the fact that he's throwing. And my understanding is he's going to throw again today. And talking to our trainers last night, the more he throws, the better it's going to get. He's going to start to work his arm back in shape. So in terms of a time frame, it's just so hard to tell because it's been longer than we all expected to begin with. And you just don't know how his body's going to recover. And, you know, the one thing with Jose is he does play through pain. He does normally heal very fast. And this is just something that's taken a little bit longer than we all expected. But the fact that he's finally throwing is definitely a step in the right direction. And hopefully he's going to throw again today as planned. And maybe this starts to come on quick and he's back sooner than we expect here in the next week or so, I would hope.
And I guess the other guy that a lot of people are keeping an eye on, Jeff Hoffman, takes the mound tomorrow, his first single-A game. This organization's got to be excited to see that. And, Alex, how, How fast can he come, do you think, through the organization?
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually heading down to Florida. I'm going to see a kid for the draft, and I'm actually going to get a chance to watch Jeff as well tomorrow night. So that'll be good to see him. Hopefully he gets the 5 innings. But I've only seen Jeff throw one time, and it was in extended spring training just before we left spring training. It was his first game, simulated game, I guess, against live hitters. And he was 97, 98, outstanding curveball, didn't have his changeup that day, and just strikes and tremendous stuff. And I know our scouts were extremely high on him out of the draft, and that was the first look I got at him, and it was really exciting. And I know the last report I had, he went 4 innings, was 94 to 99, sat 96, and again, they said he was dominant and the stuff was outstanding. So I'm very excited about him. I don't want to put unrealistic expectations on him, but I do know you see some of the other guys out of that draft class, like Rodon with the Chicago White Sox, Finnegan with the Kansas City Royals, and certainly when Jeff was healthy, our scouting reports had him absolutely with those two, and I know the industry seemed to have him with those guys, and those guys have already pitched at the big league level, so I wouldn't rule anything out. At the same time, we're not going to force anything. His health is going to be the number one priority. But if he performs well, he's going to make a start, like I said, tomorrow. If he performs well, we won't be afraid to have him move fast.
Yeah, Alex, what I like about Josh Donaldson is he has a little bit of fire in his belly. We saw that yesterday. I love it. I love what I saw from him yesterday. But would you like to, as a GM, would you like to see more of that from your entire team?
You know, I think Josh is fiery, no doubt about it. He's you know, the more you're around him, he's just unbelievable. He's, the work ethic is outstanding. He's a baseball rat. He talks the game. He wants to get better. He talks it. He's intense. And I agree with you, Clark. I mean, the intensity you see, what he brings is outstanding. But we've had plenty of other guys that are intense. Jose Bautista, obviously, can be very intense, and he can get locked in as well. I don't know that it's a prerequisite one way or the other. I mean, Martin's pretty intense. He may not show it the same way that Josh does, but I do think we have a collection of high-energy guys that play every day, that post, that get after it, and that want to win. And not everybody expresses it the same way. I know Nick Markakis has got that type of reputation, and I got to know him a little bit with the Greek Olympic team, and he's as quiet and as introverted as they come, but he's a total pro, and he plays as hard as anybody. So being demonstrative doesn't necessarily mean that you care more than the next guy. That's just the way Josh chooses to express it, but I love it. It rubs off on his teammates, and he's all about winning, and you see him, what you see on the field, between the lines, same thing inside the clubhouse as well. That's all. He comes to win every day, and that's the number one concern that he has.
Alex, we're going to let you run. Appreciate you doing this today, as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
All right, guys. Enjoy.
It's Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. He is off to Florida to do some scouting tomorrow. The draft, God almighty, it's coming up on June 6th. And there you go.
What'd you think?
Well, it doesn't sound like there was a particularly large meeting yesterday.
Didn't sound like there was one at all to me.
It sounded like it was...
How you doing? What's going on?
And look. I mean, their office is next door to each other. I mean, I've been there. Their offices are next door to each other. You can't help but see. If you go to the washroom, you're walking past the guy. So I would imagine that there have been several conversations between Alex Anthopoulos and Paul Beeston. And I think that the takeaway is Alex Anthopoulos doesn't sound to me like a guy who's going to fire his manager or pitching coach, people. I'm sorry.
But I think he sounds realistic. He sounds like he knows what needs to be changed.
Oh, I think
what
he does.
Needs to be addressed. And he's looking to do that. I think that's the big, what we needed to hear from him is he's on board. And
I've said all along, Kevin, I think at some point in mid-June, stuff coalesces. Either Alex has made a trade and the team isn't playing well, in which case, yep, the manager and everybody's on the table. Hell, for all we know, the GM could be in the table if that's the case. But I still think there are a couple of things that have to play out before we get to that point. I just don't... I've been around teams where managers are fired. I don't get that sense right now.
Yeah,
I don't get that sense.
I don't think it's the right time to do it personally. Now, people are going to say they're losing. It doesn't seem like they're going on any winning streak anytime soon. But performance on the field is something real hard to for a manager to make you throw strikes and make you get guys out. And
interesting point about Aaron Loop, though. Interesting point about Aaron Loop. Mm-hmm. I think we may see
he doesn't have a choice, really.
He doesn't have a choice right now. But my senses are something's in the works someplace. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Kevin Barker and I will continue to break down our discussion with Alex Anthopoulos. Look ahead to game two of this four-game set with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Aaron Sanchez on the mound tonight against Hector Santiago. First pitch shortly after 7 to Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Blue Jays Central live at 6:30 with Campbell and Zahn on Sportsnet Ontario. And then Buck and Pat and Barry Davis will have the game for you on Sportsnet Ontario. It's Baseball Central, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central. We do a Barker Goes Yard today. Before we do that, I want to replay a clip from our conversation with Alex Anthopoulos in the first hour. First half hour. It just seems like it. Not true. First half hour of Baseball Central. This is Alex Anthopoulos addressing the issue of firing John Gibbons, which seems to be the topic of conversation today. What would tell you that it was time to make a managerial change? And not, I'm talking in a general sense.
And I understand. And look, I completely get it as well. Once there's, just like anything else, if there's changes that are going on around the game, that sparks conversation and discussion. Again, especially when the team isn't playing well. I mean, before we went on the trip, I think everyone was feeling fairly good. The bullpen was starting to come around, and we had a good series against the Red Sox team was playing well. We had a good homestand. And it could change. It could change very fast. So, look, with respect to changes with staffing and things like that, I'm not trying to avoid the question, but I don't want to give too much on this because I don't even want to entertain that it's even something that's being considered or even talked about internally. Look, I can tell you this. Whenever it comes to staffing, I think in any walk of life, whether it's sports or in any industry, it's if you really feel that there's a direct correlation, if there's things that are going on that can't be addressed, if you know, things get going on that you really feel a need for that. I think like anything, just like you said, in sports, when things aren't going well, we want to see change. It goes without saying. A lot of times it comes down to the performances of players, like anything else. And a lot of players will tell you, look, you know, they're not having the years that they should have. They should be playing better. And ultimately, you have to decide what influence does a coach have? What influence does a general manager have? What influence does a manager have? And I can tell you, our rotation hasn't done as well as we've expected. But look, with all due respect to John Gibbons or anybody else, I'm not giving Gibby credit for Burley having the year he had last year. Because Mark Burley's been doing it for 14 years in a row. Mm-hmm. And the same way for R.A. leading our team in wins and innings for 2 years in a row. And the same, I guess in the same breath, for a six-week period, or actually, yeah, probably 5 to 6 weeks now, if guys are getting off to slow starts, the manager's not the one throwing the pitch, and especially with established guys. So, you know, the one thing, too, is that we've seen some changes. Like Drew is starting to throw the ball a lot better. I feel pretty confident his ERA is going to come down below six. And I think Burley's starting to come around as well. And, look, RA did not have a good outing against the Astros. There's no way to hide that or avoid that. But at the same time, I know him and Pete have worked on some things, and they think they may have found something with his mechanics. And I expect them to be a lot better. So you just – I understand it's a long year. We say it all the time, and I know nobody wants to hear it. But it is amazing how quickly things can change. You lose five in a row. You win five in a row. The mood changes so fast. I mean, look, we were 13 games over 500, I believe, in late May or early June. And obviously that changed, and we were four over. So – in the same breath, things can change. You have to really stay consistent and stay even keeled and not overreact to a six-game stretch or an eight-game stretch.
It's general manager Alex Anthopoulos in conversation with myself and Kevin Barkin. I got to add this as well. If Alex Anthopoulos is going off to Florida to do some scouting, I mean, unless I've misread Alex Anthopoulos, that's not something that a guy getting ready to pull the plug in his general manager pitching coach does.
No, but it sounds like the leash is getting shorter.
Oh, the leash. Yeah.
When you listen to it.
The leash is short, but before like the leash is tugged, something else has to be done.
Sure. Well, the one thing that stood out to me there is Drew Hutchison with a 6 ERA. That's your ace. Your ace gets off to a start like that.
We're talking about, he's, the hell's an ace?
He's the guy that pitches against the other team's ace. Yeah. That's the guy every 5 days that stops the bleeding.
But he's not going up against the other team's ace anymore.
I understand that. I'm just saying that gets back to your manager. Can managers, help that you're, we'll go put ace in quotation marks.
All right.
It's getting off to a bad start. No, it is what it is.
Speaking of stuff in quotation marks, you know what it's time for?
My favorite.
Batter up! It's time for Barker Goes Yard!
This music makes me want to go have some catfish. I don't know why.
You already had some.
I know. It was Lake Erie perch on the weekend, by the way. It was damn good. You haven't lived till you fried up 10 pounds of Lake Erie perch in a deep fryer.
Sounds like
it. My heart just swelled to like... Anyhow. Speaking of swelling, four batters in an inning. That's striking out four batters in an inning. That's not something you see every
day.
Wait a minute. You do. Sergio Santos is pitching.
There's two guys, and it never happened. 75 times recorded in history. 22 of those since 2010. That is four strikeouts in one inning. In the eighth inning, Kenley Jansen, remember that guy?
This
the closer?
This is Friday, right?
Yeah. It's Friday. Kenley Jansen of the Dodgers, the closer, came back first outing of the season, struck out four Rockies. The very next day on Saturday, your favorite guy,
Sergio Santos.
Sergio Santos struck out four more Colorado Rockies. So not only can they not pitch, they can't hit anymore.
Sergio's done that
two times. One time in spring training against the Cubs, but at the time, who's the Cubs? But now the Cubs are good.
So those of you out there who like four strikeouts in an inning, Sergio Santos is your guy.
The pitch to Juan, hammered right field. On its way. That one way back there and gone. Wow.
All right. you know what? I'm a guy when I go to a ballpark, I like beer. I maybe like a sandwich or a hot dog. I'm not big on... You know what I like? I like the roasted nuts. I'm not big on some of the newfangled stuff. You found one that... there's no way in hell I could eat this.
Well, if you go to the Arizona Diamondbacks game, you can get this. I was reading this and I thought of you, Jeff, because you know you love food.
Yeah, but I don't like
it. It's called the Churro Dog, a sweet Spanish dessert tucked in a Long John chocolate glazed donut bun with frozen yogurt, whipped cream, chocolate sauce, and caramel. Rumor has it it's a lot of calories. And, Jeff, you should stay super, super far away from that.
Swing and a line drive deep to left toward the corner. This has got a chance. It's going, and gone.
I thought you were talking about a real hot dog there. You know the magical thing about wieners, right?
No.
Wieners are the only meat that a vegetarian can eat. Think about why.
Only you would know that.
Think about why. So who's the best player in baseball?
Mike Trout. No, numbers say otherwise. This year, my favorite player, and probably your favorite player now because you are a little bit of a front runner, Bryce Harper, to me right now, could say with the numbers, 338, 14, and 37 ribbies. He leads Major League Baseball, the NL, National League, Major League Baseball in some categories.
Yeah, he leads the
National
minor
League in games played. Yes, I said games played. Plate appearances, slugging percentage, runs, home runs, base on balls, and OPS. And, oh, by the way, they were a really bad team come April 27th. Now they're only a half a game out. Bryce Harper, you are the best.
3-2 pitch to Bautista. Fly ball deep left field.
There we go.
Yes, sir. Let's admire that one. There she goes.
There she goes.
All right. That was good.
He's my favorite.
Yeah, he is the best. I'm not down with the churro dog, though, man.
You would love that.
I don't even know why.
Right,
I don't even,
up your alley.
I will say this. I don't even know why they allow yogurt into ballparks. It's like Diet Coke. It shouldn't exist. Anyhow. It shouldn't, man. If you're going to do it, go the high test.
They don't want to kill people.
For Alex Anthopoulos, Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks for joining us. See you tomorrow.